many years he walked in darkness as he groped along the streets with hands stretched out for pennies or just a bite to eat. It's a story of the blind man who met Jesus on his way, and with the Master's touch, the man looked up and the scoffers heard him say, "Somebody touched me, somebody touched me. I was blind, but praise his name, I now can see. I was in darkness when Jesus found me, but since he touched me, I now am free." One day he touched a crippled man and made him walk again. And the Master saw with pleasure he had labored not in vain. Like the story of the crippled man, I once was bound by sin, but since a Master came, oh, praise his name, thank God I now can say, somebody touched me, somebody touched me. I was blind, but praise his name, I now can see. I was in darkness when Jesus found me, but since he touched me, I now can see. Somebody touched me, somebody touched me. I was blind, but praise his name, I now can see. I was in darkness when Jesus found me, but since he touched me, I now am free. But since he touched me, I now am free.
If you have your Bibles, I'll try and start. If we don't finish and we end up worshiping, I'm good with that too. Hallelujah. We don't want to get so caught up in ceremony that we don't get ministered to. 1 Timothy 3, I'm going to read verse 14 through 16. I know I'm jumping in the midst of an epistle, three chapters or so in. But there's something here I'd like to point out to you tonight. With the help of God, it's just worth talking about. Praise God. 1 Timothy 3, verse 14, 15, and 16. Pretty soon we'll have the scripture thing up, so it'll be there for everybody online as well. "These things write I unto you, hoping to come unto you shortly, but if I tarry long, that you may know how thou oughtest to behave thyself in the house of God, which is the church of the living God, the pillar and ground of the truth. And without controversy, great is the mystery of godliness. God was manifest in the flesh, justified in the spirit, seen of angels, preached unto the Gentiles, believed on in the world, received up into glory." Hallelujah. Now this is the word of the Lord. I didn't invent it. Praise God, I didn't just make it up. It's been in there long before any one of us were even born. But we live long enough to participate in a mystery. Praise the Lord. We want to talk about that tonight. And the mystery is defined in this verse of scripture in verse 16, and that's what I want to talk to you tonight about, and I hope you get something good out of it. I hope it excites you. I hope you get excited about your walk with God. I hope you get more excited about the mystery of godliness than you worry about the mystery of iniquity. Praise the Lord, because we live in a world today where too many people are crying in their cup of milk over stuff they can't beat, and they need to be rejoicing in a mystery that can beat all that stuff. Praise the Lord. Let's love the Lord. Let's love the Lord. Hallelujah. Praise God. We love you, Jesus. Praise God. We love you, Jesus. We love you, Hallelujah. 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 Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Praise God. You may be seated. Thank you for standing. Paul is talking to Brother Timothy, a young minister in the gospel that Paul was very much a father to in the gospel. Long history between the two. Read the book of Acts. He's one of the fellow laborers in the work of the Lord, done lots of traveling and lots of ministering to the churches in Asia and just being a part of that great fellowship of what the Lord had done, and ended up becoming the bishop ordained by Paul to be the Bishop of Ephesus. And he's writing this epistle back to him, and he's writing this so that Brother Timothy knows how to behave himself in the house of God, how to carry himself, how to walk, how to live. Aren't you glad for a word that has instructions? When you don't know what to do, the word knows what to do and can teach you what to do so that you can live better and be blessed. Living for God really is not complicated, but we make it complicated, do we not? Yes. It's really supposed to be a lot more glorious, a lot more powerful, a lot more special than sometimes we make it. But it doesn't take, but as the song says, just a little talk with Jesus makes it right. Yes. We begin to learn as the years pass how to walk better, how to make our path straight, and how to keep it narrow, and how to keep it special, and how to do what God wants you to do in this world, and he demonstrated it for us all in Christ Jesus. You're a part of tonight, the Church of the Living God, which is the pillar. It is the ground or the base, the foundation, the strength of the truth. You're not a part of something second rate. You're not a part of the cut of the split off of the split off. You're a part of the Church of the Living God. And I think it's important for you to realize that when you realize you're a part of the General Assembly and Church of the Firstborn, I'm in Hebrews 12 now, you realize there's nowhere else for you to go. When you truly understand that there's one Lord, one faith, and one baptism, Ephesians 4:5-6. When you realize that there's one Savior, one kingdom, one shed blood, one resurrection, one power of the Holy Ghost, one gospel, praise the Lord. It really ought to clear things up for you that if you're in a church preaching the truth, amen, you're in the right place to be. And you've got everything you need to make it all the way there. Verse 16 says, without controversy, great is the mystery of godliness. And I was trying to chew on that again and just chew on it again and chew on it again. We talked about these things in time past. You've read these verses yourself. Brother Rutledge has preached upon them many a times over the years. He's telling this man of God, this bishop, without controversy, great is the mystery of godliness. And there's a couple ways we could talk about that word controversy here, but I just want to say this just to scratch the surface. If you can escape controversy and just let the mystery of godliness be great in your life, you're going to live a whole lot better. If you yourself, now there's always controversy in the world and with darkness, we know that, but when there's controversy with you, and the controversy is over whether or not this mystery of godliness is going to be manifested in your life. Oh, how great the Lord will be. You'll be able to read scriptures like, I believe it's Psalm 48, that says, great is the Lord and greatly to be praised in the city of our God and the mountain of his holiness. You'll be able to say, great is the Lord. Great is the Lord. Greatly to be praised, and it'll be coming forth from you. There'll be no controversy. Isn't it great to go to church and there's no quarrel? There's no one foot in and one foot out. There's no struggle between you trying to kind of, you know, kiss on the cheek the mystery of iniquity while trying to, you know, cozy up to the mystery of godliness when it suits your fancy. Praise God. Isn't it nice to know you can put both feet in and say, great is the Lord? Hallelujah, hallelujah. Praise God. I'm promising you, if both feet are in, you're going to say, great is the Lord. And there'll be no controversy. There'll be no conviction. There'll be no, you know, there'll be no conscience problem where you know you've got something that's not quite right, so you can't quite say it just right. Great is the Lord. And without controversy, great is the mystery of godliness. And then he explains the mystery. Listen very carefully. God, this one true God, was manifest in the flesh. And Paul is saying that what I'm about to say to you, I am going to define for you godliness. Godlikeness. Bearing the nature of God. I want to define for you what it means to be godly. God was manifest in the flesh. Praise God. Not another God. Not a split off from God. Not a little bitty God of God. God was. Now, this verse of scripture we can use to try to prove that Jesus is God and there's only one God and he's not dissected like the world has taught. But I think we'd be missing something drastically if that's all we get out of this. Even though we quote it and we can use it to express truth, if that's all we do with it, we have missed this verse. I'm not saying that he's not one God. 1 Timothy 2 and 5 of the same epistle says, but there is one God and one mediator between God and men, the man Christ Jesus. All the Word of God teaches that he's one God. He's not a divided deity. He is an eternal spirit that fills heaven and earth. God is not a man. God is spirit. Isn't that right? And all that's true. But there's something in this verse of Scripture that's beyond the fact that he's just one God. The topic here is not the mystery of he's one God. Because in this century, at this time of writing, they never heard of some of the stuff we have heard and some of us were raised believing. It had not been taught yet. It did not exist yet. Paul is writing about the mystery of godliness, and he's saying that the mystery of becoming like God and manifesting God is great. Great is the mystery of godliness. I'm not worried about whether or not somebody understands whether he's one God or is he this three person in one thing. I'm not worried about that struggle. God can clear that up for you when you're filled with the Holy Ghost. I'm worried about somebody becoming godly. Amen. I became godly before I understood who God was. Isn't that right?
Yeah.
It's true for many of us. Before I understood Scripture, before I understood things that I wanted to know, as God began to untangle the spider web in my head theologically, I had become something that I was once not. I had let go of a mystery for a better mystery. Praise God. I let go of a sloppy novel for a great novel. Praise the Lord. A great story, I should say. It's not fiction. Praise God. But I let go of one story for a better story with a much happier ending. Amen?
Amen?
So without controversy, I'm just lingering on this because I want you to stop. I want your focus to be godliness. when you do that, you'll see verse 16 in a different light than just going there to read it to prove that. See, God, see, the scripture says it was God. You know, that's what people do often. And I'm not against trying to set the record straight, but when there's something there to be seen in addition to that, outside of a debate trying to convince somebody that he's one and his name is one, and that's why we need to be baptized in Jesus' name. That's why, and all that's great, and all that's wonderful, because we don't need to repeat Matthew 28:19 over a soul. We need to obey it over the soul in water baptism. And that's the difference. The difference is there's a name there. When you read Matthew 28:19, read it and realize it's a singular name, in the name of. Not names of, as if all three had separate names or were some separate entity, when that is not true. In the name of. Read how they obeyed that in the book of Acts and carried that out. And then you'll say, what did they understand? Then go read it and you'll understand. That's what that verse means. Great is the mystery of godliness. God was manifest in the flesh. John puts it like this in 1 John. He said that Jesus Christ, every spirit that confesses that Jesus Christ is come in the flesh is of God. Let me read that one more time. Every spirit, your spirit, not a devil, your spirit, every human spirit that confesses that Jesus Christ has come in the flesh is of God. Jesus Christ came in the flesh. He was not flesh before he showed up, but was manifest in the flesh, was made flesh and dwelt among us. Jesus Christ is the Word of God. And the Word of God is God. No man had seen God at any time. The closest that any one of them got to seeing the invisible, almighty Jehovah God was in the face of Jesus Christ, the Son of Man, the veil of God. But God was manifest in the flesh so that he could one day be manifest in your flesh. Praise the Lord. He was justified in the spirit while being manifested in the flesh. This is an explanation of what godliness is. To be godly is to have God in you. To be godly is to be justified by the Spirit of the living God. That means there are no offenses against you. It means you're just before God. If you're just before God, then there's not a prosecutor anywhere that can hold you in contempt before God, because through the blood of Christ and through his name and by the Holy Ghost, you stand before God justified. Praise the Lord. Isn't that what the scripture teaches us? In 1 Corinthians 11, praise God. Or chapter 6, verse 11, I believe it is. That in the name of the Lord, we're justified, we're sanctified. We'll read that in a minute. What? In the name of the Lord Jesus and by the Spirit of God, we're justified. So even the wrath of God that's against sin, if God was his own prosecuting attorney as much as he is a defense attorney, the defense stands up against the prosecutor and wins. Hallelujah. This is godliness, to have God being manifest in your flesh. We cannot be godly without God. To be justified in the Spirit. The next one's great. Justify. Think about this tonight. No matter what your memory is of what you once did, are you now just? You may not feel just when you go down memory lane. You may not feel just when the enemy comes around to accuse you. You may not feel just when you look back, just even maybe over a short period of time in your life, maybe something even recent possibly. You may not feel, but if God has cleansed you, if God has washed you, if God has separated you from your sins, then you stand before God just. That means the absence of iniquity and transgression in all wrong. There's nothing in God that would stand up against you and say you are to blame, because when he looks in your direction, he sees godliness. He sees a mystery at work in your life that pleases God. God loves mysteries. Hallelujah. The mystery that he's made in your life. Oh, God, help us get this one tonight. Praise God. What is it about you? It's a mystery. Hallelujah. It's a mystery at play that God has created. It's a mystery of godliness. God, and now what we're reading is something that took place. God was manifest in the flesh. God was justified in the Spirit. Thank you, Jesus. God was seen of angels. Thank you, Jesus. See, people think too much. This messes with their theology because it has to make sense. It does to God. Seen of angels. Doesn't the scripture teach us in this great word of God concerning us, concerning the redeemed, that the angels desire to look into? They desire to see the story of godliness in your life. Now watch, the scripture teaches us also in Hebrews 12 that we are in the presence of an innumerable, that means without number, company of angels. That we also are seen of angels. Because that's a part of the mystery of godliness. Hallelujah. Is God helping you perk up a little bit and realize what you've become? Or has this world just gotten to you so much that you've forgotten just really who you are and what he's made you to be? When God was manifest in the flesh, as some people like to say, when he came down, when he rent the heavens and was manifested to take away our sins, God was manifest to bring godliness into this world, no matter how dark the world was. It's not impossible for you and I to be just in an unjust world. It's not impossible for you and I to manifest God in a godless world. Praise God. For as much as the mystery of iniquity is at work, so is the mystery of godliness. And the mystery of iniquity is not greater than the mystery of godliness. Amen. That's why once in a while we have to step back and be careful about how caught up and drawn away we get with the wickedness of this world. Amen. I'm not here to ever encourage you to not watch the news and to not be informed. I'm not here to say all that. We want to be informed. We want to know what's going on. But when life... when you feel like you're just drowning in the without measure iniquity abounding more and more, step back from it a little bit and say, I'm full of God. Yeah. Yeah. Hallelujah. It has not tarnished the mystery of godliness in my life. Praise God. It has not. Justified in the Spirit, seen of angels. Praise God. I want you to put yourself in here for a minute. Preached unto the Gentiles. God was. Is God manifest in your flesh? Are you justified by God? Do angels see you? Is your life, is your testimony preached unto the Gentiles? Unto the world that's all around you, is your godliness preaching? Are you believed on in the world? Are you believed on in the world? I'm going to ask you, let us sink in here tonight. I'm not trying to be deep. I'm not trying to be complicated, and I'm not trying to make tired mind do too much work. I'm here to talk. This is a mystery of godliness. And then it says something that we almost miss the first part of the verse, and we go right to God was manifest in the flesh. God was justified in the Spirit. God was seen of angels. It was God, not a something dissected deity. It was God himself. And all that's great because it's a truth. John chapter 1 says it. You don't have to dissect it. It doesn't have to meet anybody's, philosophical ability to reason. It just said the Word
was with God, was God, and was manifest in the flesh. Shouldn't be difficult. God didn't stop being God when the man Christ Jesus was walking the earth. It's not quite like the song says, he left his throne in glory. He did not.
All right, stick with me another moment here. Maybe I should look at... No, I won't. Godliness is up here. Ungodliness is down here. Jesus said, I am from above. You are from beneath. But if any man be in Christ, the scripture does teach us we sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. We are made partakers of his holiness. We have become godly. Praise God. We have been baptized. When we're baptized into his death and we are baptized with the Holy Ghost, our baptism takes us up and out of. We exodus from Egypt and we enter into the kingdom of his dear son. Praise God. We are translated into the kingdom of his dear son. Now, praise God, a transformation awaits us, but now we are lifted up. That's why I'm here to tell you tonight that we should have on our minds more the mystery of godliness and not the mystery of iniquity. Amen. Even though iniquity abounds more and more every day, I do read in the Word of God, amen, shall we continue in sin that grace may abound? And where sin abounds, grace does much more abound. And where we need to be in such a troubled world is we need to be on the much more abound. We need to be in tune with godliness. The mystery of godliness. Our mystery is greater than their mystery. Our mystery is greater than the mystery I once walked in that had me set on the fires of hell. Now it's got me going all the way to glory. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Are you happy about that? Let's love him a moment. Doesn't Scripture teach us that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us? While we were yet serving sin. Now, we weren't around at the time Christ walked the earth, but while the human race was dwelling in sin, he was manifested to take away that sin. He showed up. He showed up in godliness. He showed up manifest in the flesh. Tempted in all points like as we, yet without sin, that's what the scripture says, that he might be a faithful, he partook of flesh and blood, that he might be a faithful high priest, that he might be faithful to call us unto himself. He was willing to bear it all, endure it all, and yet remain godly. The mystery of godliness is ungodliness is not greater than godliness. Praise God. And when you become godly, the scripture says that God has reserved the godly for himself. Amen. And that the godly, amen, stand in the judgment. Praise the Lord. Don't you understand where you are today? I'm not waiting someday for the books to be open and God to say, good, good, enter in, good, enter in. That's Hollywood. Today, if any man be in Christ, God's saying, good, good. Judgment begins at the house of God. Where the godliness is. Praise the Lord. Don't you ever let the enemy accuse you. Don't you ever let the enemy make you feel like you're trash. You're not trash. He's trash. He's ungodly. You're godly. Praise God. Hallelujah. You're in a place where angels can see you. Hallelujah. They want to see you. They want to. If we could see tonight what God sees in the spirit, angels worshiping when you worship. Rejoicing over you because you're blood bought. Hallelujah. I'm talking about godliness tonight. Godliness. It's not a struggle to be godly. Praise God. The way of a transgressor is hard. That's what the word says. Praise God. Oh, hallelujah.
Brother Art, make sure I'm not overmodulating. Praise God. Keep those muffs on once in a while. Thank you, Jesus. I was popping the other night, and I'm trying not to eat the microphone. And without controversy, great is the mystery of godliness. If the next time you have a struggle in your little whiny flesh, why don't you go to the prayer room and talk to yourself? Nobody else is around, so they won't prescribe medication for you or call an ambulance. Go talk to yourself. And name the thing you struggle with. And say, great is the mystery of godliness. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. God was manifest in the flesh. If God could be manifest in the flesh, he could become manifest in my flesh. And I do believe I read right, Brother Mike, in Romans 8, that by the Holy Ghost, he will quicken my mortality. He will quicken this mortality. He will quicken my humanity. He'll make it alive. My humanity has got to obey God. We are dead. Isn't that right, Sister Gloria? And our life is hid with Christ in God. Our body's dead. What does that mean? We're dead to the ways of sin because we've got power over sin. Stop letting sin dictate your life. Glory! Sin shall not have dominion over you. And we need to start living like that, praise God. We need to have it on our minds, praise God. The wickedness of this world is not greater than the righteousness that has been revealed unto us. Hallelujah. Praise Him. This world is lost. This world is hungry. This world is destitute. And they need people who are in tune with their own godliness. Godliness rubs off. Ungodly people wanted to be around a godly Jesus. See, that's what I'm trying to say here tonight. The mystery of godliness was what he was in the flesh. He showed what it meant to be godly. And when God was manifest, it wasn't a debate over who was right or wrong. It was God manifesting and healing. God manifesting and letting a woman cry at his feet. What was being manifested there? She was ungodly. Simon said so. If he were a prophet, he would know what type of woman this was. And he'd give her the boot. But that woman knew she was in the presence and at the feet of godliness. And she just wanted to get close to it. Oh, hallelujah. She was believing in it. See, don't you get it? We're not supposed to be repelling people. There's supposed to be something flowing from us that causes the hungry to say, I want to be near those people. I've got to be around those people. What is that glow on their face? It's God manifest in the flesh. It's God producing justification. Hallelujah. Oh, hallelujah. And that's what godliness is about. Godliness was designed to draw the ungodly. I mean, all John had to say in John chapter 1, John the Baptist, that is, behold the Lamb of God. And Andrew turned and looked and said, whoop, following him. His name was mentioned. See, this is what's happening. Don't make Jesus' name ugly, as so many have in this nation and around the world with their dumb doctrines, their bad, crabby apple attitudes. But when Bartimaeus heard it was Jesus passing by, he cried out after him. When the woman with the issue of blood heard it was Jesus passing by, she took off running. Not away from him, towards him. Now, when people hear Jesus' name from you, what will they do? I could tell you what God wants them to do. I could tell you what deep down inside we all want them to do. So let's be in tune with the mystery of godliness, and let's allow God to work in our lives, and let's cater to the manifestation of the power of God. And I'm telling you, those who are sick are going to come among us. Lay hands on me, praise God. Whose lives are troubled, they're all beat up, they're all messed up, they're confused. They're going to want to be around church people. Jesus' name, church people. Not crusty, I've got a religion, I've got a faith tattooed on the wall. This is what we believe, and you can line up or not. No, they need to be around a real Jesus
church. They need to be in the presence of godliness. Even Jesus said, not everyone that says, Lord, Lord, shall enter the kingdom. So that means not everyone that talks about him is godly. God was manifest in the flesh. The mystery of godliness. Get off for a moment. Get off the one God thing. God don't need your help telling how many he is. But he has converted you to manifest this one God. He said, I am the light of the world. He said, you are the light of the world. He said, as long, watch this, as long as I am in the world, I am the light of the world. Anybody here have Jesus Christ in them? Then he said, as long as I'm here, Brother Rick, I am the light of the world. Where is that light? Where is that light? Would you answer that right now? Where is that light? It's in us. That light is in us to draw darkness, not beat darkness to death for being dark. We were once dark, but now we're light in the Lord. We were once lost, but now we're found. Somehow, godliness wants to save. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Isn't that right? The gospel is the power of God unto salvation. The gospel is the power of God. Jesus said, you'll receive power after that the Holy Ghost has come upon you. When they're all frazzled, what's going to happen? When's the end coming? When are you going to restore Israel? When are you going to give the Romans the boot? He said, you'll receive power. After that, the Holy Ghost has come upon you. I mean, listen to his terminology. I'd hate to think that our lives manifest. If I can just beat this. He said, you'll receive power. See his terminology? You'll receive kaboom. Earth-shattering kaboom. I mean, really, if we could just take a picture, because that word is translated from dynamo or something like that in the Greek, it does mean that. It just means power. The gospel of Jesus Christ is the earth-shattering kaboom to trouble in your life so that you could go to the prayer room, pull the baby binky out, and go, boom! Tonight I'm blowing you up in the name of the Lord, because that's ungodly. Those thoughts are ungodly. That lifestyle's ungodly. That attitude's ungodly. And I'm here to blow you up in Jesus' name. I'm here to come upon you in the power of God. I'm here to manifest God. I gotta quit. Let me see. Time to. Whoo. Hallelujah. Does this make sense to everybody? I'm not twisting scripture. I'm just saying, if you can, just go below the surface of the water from trying to prove that it was God that was received up before them. Because people don't get that. They go, oh, he saw form. It was a little bitty of the biggie. But it wasn't. It was biggie. Yeah. But in addition to them watching God be received up, there's something here that he's wanting to impart to us so that he understands, because that was the whole reason why he came, was so that he could give us his own nature so that we could walk with God and be like God and bear the nature of God and be godly. Watch. God was manifest in the flesh, justified in the spirit, because we can't be justified without the spirit of God. We'll read that 1 Corinthians in closing. Seen of angels. God was seen of angels. Why wouldn't he be? He's God. Hallelujah. Isn't that right? Preached unto the Gentiles. Who was? God was. God was preached. God was preached unto the Gentiles. And this is what Paul is expressing. Because he's in the world, he was preached unto those that were once alienated from anything that had anything to do with God. But he said, I will say to a people who are not a people, you're now my people. Amen. And we've got to show this. We've got to manifest. No matter how creepy people have become, God wants to call them his people. Praise God. And that's why if we can manifest godliness to this height, and we can become like he is in this world, people are going to be born again. People are going to want to come to God. Most people don't know anything about him anyway, so it's not important for you to get into a theological debate. Just love them. Manifest God to them. Get down to their main street address where this is going on, this is going on, this is going on. They don't know any more scripture than the next guy, but they need to see scripture in action. That woman that came and wept at his feet, who loved much, Jesus said she loved much and's forgiven much. He knew what she was doing. She was pouring her soul unto the high priest of her profession, unto the apostle of apostles. At that moment, she was at the brazen altar of brazen altars. The Lord from glory, the Prince of life. And he let her be there. That's godliness. He didn't say, you go home and straighten up and dress right and come back home. And then you can sit here. And don't embarrass me by crying on my feet and washing them with the hair of your head. What's wrong with you, woman? No, he didn't do that. Simon would have liked to have done that way. Preached unto the Gentiles, believed on in the world. And before I finish with these last two things here, believed on in the world. Remember, he manifested his power and glory, and many believed on him. See, he gave them a reason to believe. To the hearts that were open unto God, he gave them a reason to believe. Are we giving people a reason to believe? Praise. Is our life giving them a reason to believe? That God is in the house. The mighty God, the everlasting Father, Emmanuel, God with us. That's who Jesus was. God with us. That's what the name of Jesus means. Jesus' name means God the Father with us. Not far from us, with us. That's what godliness is. It's God with us. Hallelujah. When we're baptized in the name of God with us, we're baptized in the name of the mighty God. We're baptized in the name of the everlasting Father. We're baptized in the name of the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sin of the world. We're baptized in the name of the light of the world. We're baptized in the name of the Lion of the tribe of Judah. Amen. The root and offspring of David. Amen. The bright and morning star. Praise God. We're baptized in the name of Elohim. We're baptized in the name of Yahweh. With us. And that's what godliness is about. God with us. Believed on in the world. He was believed on. Don't you buy into this stupid theology teaching. Nobody wants to believe this anymore. Lie, 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 lie. That's like believing we can't take Canaan land. No, somebody wants this. I don't care how many people are coming out of the closet, and they're doing all sorts of crazy things. They're going to have the whole alphabet named after them. LBQT, XYZ, ABC. They got it all for something, but it doesn't matter. Because somewhere in the midst of all of that confusion and nastiness and iniquity bounding, godliness is going to walk up. God manifest is going to approach it. God's not afraid of LBQTZY. Somewhere in the midst of that mud hole, somebody wants God. And when they meet us, they don't need to meet condemnation because God manifest in the flesh stated, I have not come to condemn the world, but that the world through me might be saved. Glory! Hallelujah. That's the definition of godliness. It's to save people, not condemn people, not fight with people. We can hate their sin, but somehow we've got to allow godliness to love them. And this last thing, received up into glory. Did you know you got an up button in your soul? I'm not trying to be cute with the word. I'm just telling the truth. The scripture says, in Colossians 1:27 alone, I know it's not the only thing, but Christ in you, the hope of glory. Colossians 3, when Christ, who is our life, shall appear, then shall we appear with him in glory. Christ in us, appearing in glory. See, it's not just the idea of him coming down, it's him coming out. It's him going up. He said when he would have received the kingdom up to the Father, the word that we are now filled with, the word of life, which was manifested and is now dwelling in our soul, that word of life is going to cause us to be received up into glory as well. It wasn't just about what they saw ascending from the mount. It's about him pouring out his spirit so that one day, whether we sleep or we're alive, we're all going to go up. Because that's the only thing God can do. God was received up. Please understand this tonight, that God filled you with himself so he could take you up. I think I'm being told to quit. That's not my phone. Thank you, Jesus. This all right? Thursday night Bible study. 1 Corinthians 6. God was received up into glory. Now that, see, people don't grab that. No, it was Jesus. Why? Who do you think he is? They didn't watch flesh go up into glory. Flesh was glorified. Jesus was Jesus before he got here. And what the theologians can't get and all the Greek thinkers of centuries past couldn't get is they tried to make flesh something be there before it was there. And they don't get what God did. That God was manifest. That Jesus Christ had come in the flesh. But when the in the flesh wasn't in the flesh, he was Jesus Christ. The Word of God. That's why the scripture teaches in Hebrews that by him were all things made that were made. John 1 and also Hebrews 1. That all things were made. Because he's the Word. God created all things by his Word. And when John wrote that Word we have handled, that's why he wrote it in that way. Because he understood after the fact that we've been walking with the Word that made everything. No wonder why when he talked to the sea went, I'm good. And he said to the wind, you be quiet. And the wind said, yep, we're out of here. Because the voice of the Word spoke to the wind. And the voice of the Word, not just human flesh, it was the voice of the Word of God that caused the flesh to walk on the water. That voice spoke up and said, be still. And what he made said, yes, sir. Hallelujah. Let this word of God dwell in you. Amen. Richly. Receive them into glory. All right, 1 Corinthians 6, I'm finishing. For all of you that are laughing at me for saying that the sixth time. But I want to read this last verse here. If I can turn these new pages. Fresh. Let me put my eyes on. Oh, this is great. Let's back up a little bit and finish. This is a perfect place to. Verse 9. I guess they say if you're preaching good when you get hoarse. I don't know. I'm just getting hoarse. It's probably the AC. Know ye not that the unrighteous shall not inherit the kingdom of God? Then this is kind of black and white, straight up, right? For all the unrighteous people that say, well, I'm born again. No, you're not. If you're born again, you're righteous. Be not deceived, neither fornicators, nor idolaters, nor adulterers, nor effeminate. That's all the letters I just mentioned. And it's even more disgusting here. The word effeminate here, remember, this was written in the first century. The Romans were very popular for having young male concubines to an older man. Even the emperors had this. We would call that sex trafficking today. Yeah. Paul said effeminate. Men being like women, used like women. All of this does not inherit the kingdom of God. So straight gospel, powerful gospel truth is, there's no such thing as a gay Christian. No more than is any such thing as a liberal or conservative Christian. You're either a Christian or you're not. One more thing, just going to add this before I get shot at. There's no such thing as a born-again Christian. Going to get my shield out. No, let me explain why I said that. It's a statement that's been adopted over several decades ago that you're a Christian, but then you become born again. Now you're a born-again Christian, so you're a real Christian. You're a super Christian. Look, those who are born of God, this is just Scripture. Scripture can have a way of just getting the meatball out of the spaghetti. The Scripture teaches us we must be born again. And it was the born-again children of the Most High God who were first called, Acts 11 and 26, they were first called Christians in a place called Antioch. Okay? Who were called Christians? The born-again people. That's the way. Born-again Christian is alluding to the idea that you're a Christian, but then you're saved Christian. And that's, no. Just get back into the Word and let God kind of straighten out that understanding so that you don't misunderstand anything. I'm not here to downplay or to throw anybody under the bus, and we're definitely not here to hurt anyone who's trying to be a Christian. We want everybody to be a Christian. God wants everyone to be a Christian. But to become a Christian, at least the way, according to the Word, we must be born again. And the problem with a lot of denominations, they don't believe in being born again. They don't understand the born again process and all of that. They haven't tasted of it. They just go through a form, a formality, a ritual. Sincere as pie. But that's where we need to be godly and manifest God to them and for them and reach out to them. Just as much as Peter was an apostle to the circumcision, reaching out to the Jews saying, "The salvation is to you." We're doing the same thing to those who want to be Christians, trying to be Christians, but don't have their understanding quite opened yet. That's our goal. Amen? Okay, let me finish reading. Didn't mean to get onto all that. Nor adulterers, nor effeminate. So the Scripture is saying that idolaters shall not inherit the kingdom of God. And the kingdom of God is the Holy Ghost. And if we're not going to inherit what God has for us today, we're not inheriting what he has for us to come. Right. Nor abusers of themselves with mankind, nor thieves, nor covetous, nor drunkards, nor revilers, nor extortioners shall inherit the kingdom of God. Now that's enough that if you're any one of these things, repent of those things. Forsake those things and come running to God and say, "God, I want to be godly." Yeah. This world has thrown all this puke in our face and saying, "I'm saved. I'm a Christian, and I do all this, and I lie once in a while." No, you're not a Christian. Christians don't lie. All liars shall have their part in the lake that burns with fire and brimstone. There's no such thing as a black lie or a white lie, a little teeny lie or a very big wide lie. All liars. There shouldn't be a desire in you when you become godly to want to lie. Now, I've had bosses before saying, I need you to tell a fib for me. And I just stare them in the eye, smiling, knowing I'm not telling a fib for you. If you're in the office, I'm going to say you're not available right now. I'm not going to tell you you're not here. Or that you stepped out when I'm looking at your carcass.
Amen. You're right.
And I'll do it not because I'm worried about my conscience. I'll do it for yours. Because I want you in one of these pews one day, knowing that godliness wouldn't lie. Hallelujah. Amen. I got to stop. Okay. And such were, verse 11, and such were some of you. Were. What's a Christian? Somebody who were.
Hallelujah. Such were some of you, but what? Now you're washed. But ye are washed. I'm talking about godliness. Ye are sanctified. Ye are justified in the name of the Lord Jesus and by the Spirit of our God. Let's all stand.